Kaya Biz.
Moving from school fees to the kitchen table and your kitchen plate specifically. We had a conversation previously during the month of December about the cost of meat. And that was primarily on the back of the fact that what we did see was that when it came to agriculture and most importantly the various proteins that were produced, that there was a slight uptick in the price of some of these meat products. Now we're realizing that not only are tomatoes facing a slight shortage on the back of the fact that we saw heavy rains in the month of December, but now there's a global potato shortage crisis, and South Africa itself could potentially be affected. To help us unpack this and so much more, to make sense of what's happening with the cost of our food, and of course the very basic of ingredients that are critical to our nutrition, we joined on the line by Lunati Hlakanye. He is an agri-tech and economics blogger to give us some insight into this conversation. Lunati, welcome to Kaya Biz and compliments of the new year. I'm going to be that girl who says this all week.
Thank you so much for that, Kuku. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to your listeners.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for making time. I think first things first, Lunati, let's start off with potatoes. There's an apparent shortage globally. How is this happening?
Oh, yeah. So the current potato shortage crisis, I think it may be attributed to a wide spectrum of, you know, logistical and environmental factors. The former, of course, being a consequence of, you know, disruptions to the global supply chain network as a ramification of the pandemic, which has, and I'm sure you will agree, wrought massive tremors to our global distribution network, while the latter is, you know, a consequence of extreme weather conditions. So quite simply, you know, the global chicken crisis, for example, yet severely affected a number of sectors and businesses following, you know, the various lockdowns, which were affected by governments all over the world to flatten the COVID-19 infection curve. And this was, you know, soon followed by an increase in consumer demand and a delay in production and manufacturing, which, you know, created the current crisis that we are in. Mm. And so, I mean, we're seeing, you know, the consequences of this play out all over the world. And we first saw this play out in Japan, where various McDonald's outlets were basically imposed a cap on the sale of large and medium-sized French fries. And the reason for this, again, they said that, you know, this was related to supply chain issues that were brought by the pandemic, and specifically a flood in the port of Vancouver in Canada, which delayed potato shipments. And again, recently in Kenya,
yes,
I'm sure you've seen the story where KFC has all but ran out of potato supplies to make French fries or chips. And again, this is due to the fact that KFC imports, KFC Kenya rather, imports most of their potato chips, they do not source them locally, which again, we can go down that rabbit hole, but I don't think we have enough time.
Yeah. And you raise a very valid point there, because what I'm also realizing here, Lunati, is that this is all about the supply chain, right? The movement of these particular products from various markets to another. And some might think, but how does this happen? Why can't a market like Kenya produce enough potatoes to supply its local needs or other markets across the world? How is that impacted, I guess, in terms of why is it that local supply just isn't enough in some countries?
100%, and I think that's a very good question, Google. And look, I mean, quite simply, the reason for this is that, you know, to supply a global brand like KFC, there are certain standards that, you know, that farmers need to be compliant with, right? And, their inability, let's just call it that for now, to comply with these standards is the reason why KFC, you know, has to import from other countries. Because remember, KFC is the global brand, so there needs to be standardization. So the KFC that you get in South Africa, it has to be the same as the KFC that you would get anywhere in the world. So the quality of potatoes or the cultivar that they use to manufacture those chips, it has to be the same. And so the reason KFC Kenya imported most of their potatoes was that, Kenyan farmers were failing to meet those, global quality assurance standards.
Makes sense.
And that's what created the crisis.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. And obviously speaks to the lack of, I guess, streamlining certain systems to make sure that everyone is on board to supply the right retailers according to their standards. Interesting question, but is South Africa impacted by this shortage as well?
Well, yes and no, right? At present, I mean, there are no indications of a looming, potato shortage in South Africa, at least at a general level, right? But there have been incidences of shortages. I mean, these have been with a specific cultivar of potatoes that's used to make, your Simbas and lay chips. But other than that, we remain well-stocked, and I think we remain well-poised to satisfy local demand. However, with that said, over the past year, we did see a minor tremor in the supply of potatoes as a result of excessively heavy rainfall, rather, in January, which was then followed by extremely cold weather conditions, rather, in June, especially in the north-lying parts of the country. And, of course, this had, a severe impact on both the quality and the volume of harvest. So that has sort of carried over to this year, and we've been seeing minor tremors, but nothing to be alarmed about, I think.
Okay. At least nothing to be alarmed about at the moment. But I guess the big question is, can we fix it? What do we need to stop the shortage and make sure that we keep the system going then, potentially?
I mean, luckily for us in South Africa, our issue with potato supply is not really related to distribution, but it has a lot to do with the weather conditions. So if the weather continues to hold, I think we might be fine, right?
Yes.
I think you might have seen recently PepsiCo, which owns both Simba and the Lay's brand of chips, putting out a statement but basically announcing difficulties in sourcing high quality chips for their products as a result of what I've just described, which was the decimation of crops as a result of extremely cold weather conditions. But I think we're slowly slipping out of that. I think when that happened, there was a bit of, financial implications. At some point last year, we saw the price of potatoes, rise up to roughly almost 100 rand per 10 kilogram bag. But that has since subsided to roughly about 65 rand per 10 kg bag. And so if the weather continues to be stable, I don't necessarily foresee us having those kind of problems that Kenya and Japan and all those other countries have.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned the prices, because I think that's also what we want to know as consumers, right? None of us are buying just over, 100 kilograms of potatoes unless it's really for retail purposes. But what have we seen in terms of price fluctuations and how this has, I guess, deviated from the average prices of potatoes overall?
Yeah, I mean, as I've mentioned, I think the decimation of crops as a result of extremely cold weather conditions last year had massive, massive implications on price. And simply on a year-to-year basis, we actually saw, the price of potatoes per kg rise or increase by, up to 102% just in the, in the previous year alone. And that has since subsided. It has since stabilized to roughly about currently about 16% year on year now. So I'd say we were in a bit of a crisis last year, but I don't foresee us facing the crisis, rather, as we head into the new year. So yeah, prices will generally stabilize. Of course, please take this with a grain of salt, because the climate is quite volatile at the moment and anything can happen.
Yeah, very volatile. Just to close off with, I'm just trying to imagine going up to a takeaway store and saying, hold on, I'd like to have two pieces of chicken and fries, and they tell you, oops, we're out of fries. What does this spell, I guess, when it comes to these shortages on the back of weather conditions, supply chain dynamics? How does this continue to fuel the argument and the debate for non-organic foods, especially if you consider the case regarding McDonald's and Jamie Oliver just a few weeks ago? Does this raise ongoing concerns that maybe, we might continue to manufacture or use biotechnology to increase productivity of certain agricultural products?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the current debate at the moment is how can we use novel technologies like CRISPR to genetically modified crops,
yes,
that will be resistant to, you know, extreme weather conditions and pests and all of those things that might compromise the quality of crops. So, I mean, it is an ongoing debate within the agricultural sector that how do we foolproof ourselves against, you know, natural disasters. The climate is growing quite volatile, and climate change is a thing, and it is, you know, massively impacting crop yields, and it's having massive ramifications, of course, across price and availability as well.
Yeah.
Africa generally is quite conservative when it comes to genetically modified crops. Less so for South Africa. We've got a slightly different attitude, mm-hmm, and perhaps that's why we're not generally affected by these problems. But yes, I mean, it's a debate that's actually happening within agricultural cycles, and it's interesting. I mean, it will be interesting to see where we will land with that.
Yep, quite true. Looking forward to those ongoing conversations, Donati. Thank you so much again for keeping us abreast of these developments. Just when we thought that all things to do with agriculture was plant a seed in the ground, you know, give it some time and it will grow and then you reap what you sow. But as you mentioned, weather conditions, supply chain dynamics, all of these elements that took place months ago, certainly impacting the harvest of and supply of certain crops at the moment. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir. Looking forward to discussing all things agri-tech as well as food economics with you in the upcoming months. That's our guest this evening, Lunati Hlakanye. He's an agri-tech and economics blogger. It's 39 minutes to 6 o'clock, and in a moment we'll give you your traffic, but we also want to squeeze in when it comes to having a conversation about all things tourism, which will delay our traffic slightly, but because it's an important conversation that we want to have this evening, we are joined on the line by Khozinene Chipiwa Chibengwa, who is the CEO of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. Good to have you with us as always, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, and good evening to you and to your listeners.
I can imagine it's been a busy and crazy time for yourself and members of your organization, especially as everyone is trying to collate, calculate, and quantify the performance of the tourism sector during the month of December. Have we got any of those facts, figures, or I guess a quick overview of how the tourism industry performed for December 2021?
Well, it has been an interesting December, as you know, we all know that we started very positive, you know, in November, you know, really looking at the forward book, and it was looking promising until we discovered and announced to the world that we have sequenced the Omicron. And, you know, from the international inbound point of view, you know, our world came crumbling down, and the bookings that we had, you know, were cancelled. And everyone was afraid, and really, you know, they put us on you know, the so-called red list, and all the restrictions that had to do with quarantine requirements for returning travelers, that really, you know, had our forward book, you know, slashed to zero, mm-hmm, from where we were. So from the international inbound, we were expecting a better December, but that didn't happen,
yeah,
for the reasons that I've provided. What we've seen is that subsequent to, you know, the UK announcing that South Africa will be removed from the red list, having looked at the science that we've been providing, you know, we got the UK to remove us from the red list the week leading to Christmas, but that didn't help. Only those that were traveling to visit friends and relatives, of course, they would take advantage of that because they were already, you know, coming to functions with families or weddings,
yes,
and many other things that they were coming to do here in South Africa. So those traveled, they did come, but it's not in large numbers.
Mm.
So, you know, other countries, including the European Union bloc, you know, had banned us, and we learned as we go that each country was, you know, also looking at things from their bilateral, you know, point of view, like country to country, instead of looking at it from the bloc point of view. And we had to fight and write the letters to the EU head of delegation here in South Africa. Of which subsequently, I just got a message this morning that the EU has indeed removed us from the red list. So, from the international inbound point of view, there isn't much that has happened. We really need to look, you know, at the forward book now and build up and see if we can, you know, sort of start to generate some demand, you know, for the rest of the season, and also look at those, especially in the US market that usually, you know, also come during June, July. to see if we're going to get more people coming our way. So we've got to do some work there and see if we can really, you know, deal with the international market. But from the domestic point of view.
Yes. Go ahead on the domestic point of view.
So on the domestic point of view, things were different. We did see, you know, many South Africans really going out there supporting the sector, and the fact that the curfew was lifted prior to the New Year Eve celebration, it meant that, you know, a whole lot more people, you know, went out. It meant that, you know, restaurants had longer trading hours, you know, hotels, the same thing, and literally opening that night economy to ensure that, you know, we as a tourism sector can be able to sort of recover on a faster pace than before. But we did see, you know, properties in Durban, Cape Town, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and all the tourism hotspots. We did see increased numbers in terms of people traveling. Another thing that contributed to that is that many people had booked to travel to the likes of Mauritius Island, the Seychelles, and those didn't allow South Africans to travel to. So, you know, they had to make alternative plans and travel their own country, which, you know, of course, it does have an impact on the outbound market because we do have a lot of people that work in that. But that helped, you know, from the occupancy rate point of view from the hotel.
Yeah. It almost sounds as though, like, we're performing, we're recovering, but it's just not good enough, right? We're still not making it to the A team or making our way to the field to perform at optimum levels if we could had to compare it to a soccer field or a soccer team. So for us to make sure that we shoot the lights out come June, July, as you mentioned, what elements and measures do we need to put in place for the moment?
Well, there are a couple of things that we need to do. Number one, we need to sort of build up, you know, the demand. And that means that both public and private sector have to work hand in hand. And when I say public sector, the Department of Tourism, South African Tourism, the provinces, tourism authorities, and ourselves as a private sector, we need to work hand in hand to build up the demand. And, of course, working with our trade partners in the international market to ensure that, you know, we get more mileage and we get into those itineraries of the international, you know, tour operators who market us as a destination. So there's a work that needs to be done from that point of view. And also we need to build our brand, which is the job that South African Tourism, you know, will be embarking on, to make sure that we are seen in a positive light, we are top of mind, and people, you know, are able to think of South Africa when they are thinking of vacation. So we've got to do a whole lot more work there. Number two, we need to do some more work here domestically. What we only have now is leisure tourism.
Yes.
And leisure tourism alone is not enough to sustain the domestic, you know, capacity that we have.
Yep.
So government has to start traveling again. Corporates has to start traveling again. Conferences has to start happening again. Exhibition and many other things, including sporting events, in terms of people going to the stadium. That has a positive impact because many of them will stay at guest houses, hotels, and many other establishments. That needs to be restarted, and we are hoping that government becomes, you know, the leading partner in restarting, you know, this domestic corporate and corporate travel and exhibition events, conferences, and so forth and so on.
Yep.
So that's going to be key. If we don't restart that, leisure tourism alone is not enough. Mm-hmm. It means that we're only going to have tourism at, you know, when we have long weekends, when we have, you know, Good Friday or, you know, be it the 27th of April and so forth and so on. So we need to build up, you know, domestic corporate travel. If we don't build that up, like I said, you're going to have people going to work over the weekend and going home on Monday and returning on Friday because nothing will be happening in between. Okay. Hence, conferences, events, and exhibitions are quite important.
Very important. Well, you're quite right, and we're looking forward to seeing how these developments are updated. Thank you so much for always availing yourself and making time. Really appreciate it. Dolebuanga Manda Kodzimene. That is Chifriwa Chibengwa, who is the CEO of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. As he stated, leisure travel alone is not enough. We definitely need to make sure that there's more business and corporate travel that takes place. And that also speaks to what SA Tourism is looking to do with Meeting of the Minds, really based on exhibitions and, of course, increasing the rate of business travel in South Africa.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.